Today's podcast is brought to you by my book, The Sex Spiral, Forgiven and Free from Pornography. The Sex Spiral will teach you God's design for sexuality, the triggers that lead to porn addiction, and how to exit the sex spiral with a purity plan for your life. You can order online at Amazon.com or any other retailer. Hey, thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy today's show. Welcome to the Dustin Daniels Show, a radio program dedicated to bridging that gap between pornography and the church pew, a radio broadcast devoted to exposing the lie that's in porn, and instead pursuing the purity that is in Jesus Christ. I am your host, a redeemed sex addict, and now pastor to those who truly want help with understanding their sexual brokenness. And we talk about this all the time. There is an epidemic in our country. We have an identity crisis with our sexuality because we just don't know who we are. We're confused. And I say that because stats tell us that 50 to 60% of Christian men are addicted to porn. 50 to 60%. So when you go to church this Sunday, look around and just know that half of the men sitting in your church are not struggling, are addicted to lust. They are addicted to porn. They are addicted to sex. The same with the women. 20 to 30% of Christian women are addicted as well. So we're here to start this conversation because this conversation, you know, people shy away from it. They don't want to talk about this issue, and that's what our job is. And I want to encourage you to visit sevenplaces.org. Spell out the number seven there, S-E-V-E-N, places.org. You can sign up for the free online community. There is video blogs there as well. There's lots of teaching, and you can find about the local support groups all over. Just lots of information, and we do this because we want you to know that you are not alone. That was one of the lies that I believed for over two decades, that I was completely alone on this, and we're not. And that's what we tend to think. That's what the enemy wants us to believe, and it's absolutely not true. So today on the show, we're going to continue our conversation with Rustin Rosello on strongholds. Welcome back, Rustin.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Rustin, local college pastor at Scottsdale Bible Church. You're a student at Phoenix Seminary, and I love your passion, mm-hmm. and it's restoration because it's identical to mine. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about that restoration passion that you've got again.
Yeah, I just think, you know, so many times you spend time with really anybody. You spend time with humans, and you realize we're in need of restoration. You know, believers, non-believers, it just doesn't matter. We are all in the process of just being drawn to the Lord. And so you can kind of wrestle with some of this, and you see so many people who are just stuck. And you talk to them, and each year that goes on, they're a little less happy, they're a little less joyful, and you just see this kind of perpetual problem that they've got, that they're just not experiencing what they were told they would experience. Favorite verse in the Bible is John 10:10. And that is just very simply like, the enemy came to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came that you might have life and have it in abundance.
Absolutely.
Just that is the Christian walk broken out into two pieces of just, hey, you know, the enemy's trying to take you apart, and I came that you might have abundance. And abundance is not survive.
Yeah, that's not living paycheck to paycheck.
Right.
And believing the lies that we tend to believe, mm-hmm. there's so much more to life than this, yeah. right, Rustin?
Well, and I mean, I think that's the biggest deal is people have bought the lie that they shouldn't be living in peace, love, joy, patience, happy. I mean, all of those things. And so they're like, well, you know, my experience is just that I'm a person who lives with depression. Well, and I know that that's a very real deal.
Absolutely.
You know, and I haven't had a lot of experience with depression, but what I, you know, speaking more specifically, like I'm the person who should just leave, you know, I should live with addiction. It's just part of who I am. It's how I was made, you know, and I kind of battle that with people. Mm. No, I don't think the Lord created you to be addicted, to be lost and just completely hopeless.
Right.
You know, that's not who the Lord is for you. He has so much more for you. And so, you know, scripture's loaded with those promises, but in the midst of all the lies that we get fed, we kind of talked about that a little bit last time, but just, yeah, we can't live like that. And we can't buy that lie.
And so. And that's the whole concept of what we're talking about today, is this idea of what strongholds are and how we do believe the lie.
Yeah.
And once we believe the lie,
yeah,
then that allows the enemy, Satan and his minions, mm-hmm, this world of spiritual warfare that we just barely can even conceive of,
yeah,
around us. But we agree, what you said last week, Rustin, was that we agree, mm-hmm, to a certain point, and we don't even know that we're doing it. We agree with what Satan is telling us.
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest thing is, you know, sin is really anything that opposes the truth of God.
Right.
I mean, that's plainly stated. We kind of make it this thing that's, oh, I did something bad, and so therefore I should be punished. And I think there's an aspect of that that's out there, but really it's thoughts, it's behaviors, it's all of those things that kind of set themselves up or oppose the truth of God. Well, for some of us, it may be as simple as just believing that, you know, I'm just a dishonest person, and that's who I am. Well, Scripture speaks pretty strongly against that, you know, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit as a believer. You're not made to be dishonest. You weren't made to be a liar, but you've probably bought into a lie that's who you are, that you are a dishonest person instead of, no, you're a child of God who's probably been led astray.
Right.
You know, and Scripture would support by your own evil desires. So
absolutely. And when you start relating this stuff to lust and to purity,
sure,
some of those lies that we tend to believe is, you know, it's not ever going to get better
than
this.
Right.
You know, sex is my most important need.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the big one, Rustin, is it's, Rustin, man, if you really knew who I was, mm-hmm, you would never want to even have a conversation with me.
Sure.
Because my thought life is out of control and no one understands.
Mm-hmm.
And it's no wonder the Apostle Paul talks about renewing your mind, mm-hmm, all of the time, because it's our thought life,
yeah,
that begins this process, right?
Absolutely. And an equally big lie is, and you're not dealing with it too. You
mm.
know, I'm the guy who's broken, who's depraved, who's completely lost. You know, we have no problem buying total depravity for the rest of the world,
right,
or for ourselves.
Right.
But it's when we look at the rest of the world, there's just no way that they're as fallen as we are.
Right.
You know, and we're always shocked when church leaders or guys or gals who we held in high esteem stumble and fall. It's this great scandal. It's this huge thing. It's,
right,
oh my gosh, how did this happen? And it's like, well, it happened the same way it's happening to you.
Yeah.
We came into agreement and we kept it isolated. Like you talked about, isolation, a huge part of addiction, of sin, of all those things. And it put them off into a place where they no longer had accountability. They no longer had community, and they had separated themselves from the body of Christ. There was no one there to help heal and restore with the loving hands of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we just don't, especially when you're talking about sexual sin,
mm-hmm,
it's not like that when I committed adultery the first time,
sure,
it's not like I just woke up one day and had an affair.
Mm-hmm.
That affair was 15, 20 years in the making.
Yeah.
It started when I was 7 years old.
Yep.
And it just progressed,
mm-hmm,
year after year, and life happened, and sin happened, and decisions happened, and it's just this soup of life and sin. And all of a sudden, for whatever reason, whether I was tempted, whether I had the opportunity to choose to sin, I chose to sin,
mm-hmm,
that day.
That's right.
And it has stayed with me, even though I'm forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
God reminds me of who I am without Him.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, one of the, you know, you walk through, you know, the misfootings of believers across the board, and I've got more than my fair share, and without going through my whole testimony, it's just, you know, it's such a mess when we get lost.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a painful road, not just for ourselves, but for others. And so you start looking at some of that, and you go, well, where did it start? Oh, and we usually set the mark about a mile and a half too late.
Right.
You know, it started clear out there, and it was like, no. It started clear back here. And you start to believe different things, and you know, you can go into all the different issues. But, you know, as you start to look at a few of them, and I think today we're going to isolate in on a couple specific strongholds, and we kind of pick them apart.
Right.
And you start to see, well, where were the roots? You know, where was the genesis of this whole thing as you fall into bondage? Like, what was the thoughts that really got us started?
Yeah, yeah. And the other point I want to make here is that, you know, this is not a one-time deal.
Right.
We talked about this before. Last week, this is not a one-time deal, because there's so many of us in our culture who just want Almighty God to take this lust thing away from me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we read about the woman who touches the hem of Jesus's garment.
Yeah.
You know, and she struggled for how many years with that disease?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it's one of those things to where, look, I'm just tired of dealing with it.
Yeah.
But I can't understand why God won't take this away. This is a great example. I got a call just 2 days ago from a pastor, Rustin, who's 70 plus years old.
Yeah.
70. The guy's been doing ministry longer than I've been doing than I've been alive.
Right.
Right. And he says, I need to confess to you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what do you say to a pastor?
Yeah.
You know, I'm 41. Mm-hmm. So what happens when this pastor of 70 plus years old, I don't need to quote scripture.
Yeah.
And I'm praying he's telling me this. And he's like, Dustin, I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
I don't want to. And I hear Almighty God just say, just tell him you love him.
Yeah. That's it.
Just love on him.
Yeah.
He's free. He's
forgiven.
That's
likely what he's been away from for so long. You know.
Yeah.
What are we moving away from when we isolate? So many times we're moving away from the love of the body.
Right.
You know.
Absolutely.
You're in a dark and scary place. It's just you learn to handle that darkness and that fear just a little bit at a time. That's kind of how the enemy steps you up. He's not just going to take you to the bottom of the pit right away. He's going to lower you down slowly, kind of like that frog in a boiling pot analogy.
Right.
You throw a frog into a boiling pot, he's going to jump out. But if you put him in a lukewarm pot, slowly boil him, he'll die. And it's the same thing. You know, the enemy wants to give you as little as possible while still keeping you just content enough not to move. Like, that's the balancing act. And every once in a while, it doesn't balance and we go, I'm done. Or the revelation of the Lord moves into our lives and we start to feel a deeper experience with Christ. We see the truth of his word for exactly what it is. And all of a sudden you go, this isn't, I don't have to live this way.
Right.
The enemy's freaking out going, yes, you do. Yes, you do. No, I don't. Yeah. That's not who I have to be.
Well, and this is a journey too.
Right.
I mean, just as slowly as we got into our sin, it's going to be a slow process.
That's right.
Out. I've got a great pastor friend who always says something to the effect of, you know, the cure is worse than the disease.
That's right.
Because it takes a lot more of the root issues, which we touched on last week. When you start peeling that layer back, that onion back, what is this that's causing this behavioral addiction over here?
Yeah, I think there's root issues. And I mean, just to touch on that point, because there are things, and I am a huge proponent of the Lord can do whatever he wants. You know, so, you know, even you and I have had some discussions in our own lives where there was some immediate deliverance where the Lord did an immediate work. The Holy Spirit just moved powerfully, you know, and for my own testimony, from kind of the time originally, I've not had a desire to drink from that kind of original impact with the Lord.
Right.
And that's nothing I can describe. I don't, you know, others don't have that experience and I can't explain that and I'm not going to try.
Sure.
But the Lord did something in my life that day that changed that. Now, he didn't do that with everything. And there were others that were, man, it still is a treacherous road out. There's some things where he just takes you out of the canyon, puts you at the top and goes, that one we're done with. And you kind of look at him and go, Lord, what about these other things? Can we do that on this? And he's, oh, we're going to take a little time on that.
Right,
so
right.
I think the root thought there and the heart condition that's required is just complete and utter reliance on the Lord for, hey, some things are going to be immediate, instantaneous, what you would call miraculous acts of the Holy Spirit. The Lord's just going to bang and it's done. And there's other things that are, you know, they're tough in that road. And so, but I think the big thing is just getting to some roots of some strongholds, getting to the lies. Where's the enemy deceived me? And really, where have I come into agreement with him? And there's different areas. And again, we're going to be kind of talking about the Freedom Manual today. This is not my material. This comes out of a group in Tacoma, Washington, a church up there called City Central. And they've got a couple of these manuals, but this one in particular is kind of Freedom 101, where you sit down and you go, hey, this is taking the truth of Scripture. And I think for me anyway, it just makes it really practical to areas I'm stuck and then how to get out. So I didn't know. Do you have a couple of specific strongholds that you want to talk about today? Or?
Well, you know, one of the strongholds that I think a lot of men deal with, and maybe in some way they don't even know that they deal with them, passivity.
Sure.
You know, those of us who are wrapped up in porn, we're passive because we're too afraid to gauge in real conversation.
Sure.
with a human being.
Yeah.
Right. And then once we kind of take a look at that, then we're going to get into really how do we destroy these?
Yeah.
How do we move quickly to getting these strongholds out of our life? Because if we know Jesus,
yep,
there isn't a stronghold that can bind us.
That's right.
For the rest of our lives.
That's right. Yeah, if God is for us, who can be against us is really the kind of battle cry on that one. And so, you know, as we look at the stronghold of passivity, you know, the way I've heard it explained before and had some great teaching around it is it's just a slowness to move. Yeah, that's a great way to think about passivity because I think what we do in our framework is we kind of go, well, passivity, I can pick a passive person out of a crowd.
Sure.
In fact, you know what, it's that guy over in the corner who's not talking to
anybody. It's the wallflower.
Yeah, exactly. And you kind of go, okay, sure, it's that guy over there. When the reality is, if you really look at passivity for what it is, it's a slowness to move. Great scripture on that one is James 4:17, where it says, anyone who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins, period. Just end of story, that's what it is. Well, that fits real well right with that slowness to move concept of you can be the most outgoing person in the world. You could be the CEO of a Fortune 500 company, moving all over the place, not a fear in the world when it comes to social interaction, and yet when the Lord reveals something to you, there is a slowness to move, kind of tying into that. If you know the good the Lord wants you to do and you don't do it, you're sinning. And right, that sin is passivity. So many times when it comes to different areas of our life where we absolutely know we've been called to move and yet do not.
And we don't do it.
We are moving in passivity.
And see, that's part of the walk too, isn't it, Rustin, though?
Oh, yeah.
To be aware to even hear God's voice when he says, hey, Rustin,
yeah,
go do this.
Totally.
Or don't do that.
How desperate are you for Christ? And the scary thing is, I think a lot of times, and it's harder when you deal in the church than anything else because people are afraid, well, what if I try and it doesn't work? I would rather stand here stuck with the hope that if I were to try, Christ could do something than to try and potentially have it fail, and then I'm sure I'm stuck and I'm completely hopeless. And I mean, isn't that a great little masterpiece of the enemy?
Well, it is, because we're all of a sudden we think we're in control of the results of what God is supposed to do with us showing up and being obedient.
Put your faith in action. Radically pursue Christ in areas where sin is overtaking you. And really the faith is that you believe he can come through.
Right.
That's faith in action. I think sometimes we allow fear to overtake us, but you know, passivity really creeps in and it completely paralyzes us in areas because the Lord will continue to bring revelation into our life, conversations with other believers, areas where we just you have a sense that,
sure,
oh man, this has been killing me for years, and yet I'm just, yeah, tomorrow's a better day.
So what the first thing that we normally do is we always do what we've done before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I'm passive, if I'm stuck in my sin, if I'm angry, if I'm fearful, well,
right,
I'm gonna try to diagnose myself.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we should always do if we follow Christ is, what does God's word say?
Yeah.
And that's one of the first things, how the stronghold is destroyed.
Yeah.
You know, it's the weapon of truth.
Yeah. Yeah, once you identify a stronghold, then you're just walking through. I mean, these are basic. We'll walk through, and again, this is a little mnemonic device out of the Freedom Manual, but called the four R's. You know, you just walk through basic, and these are simple concepts, but just first step would be repentance. And that is just our strongest weapon against the enemy. Because, again, he can only get you where you let him. And a great analogy is keys to your car. No one can drive your car unless they have the keys. Let's just kind of stay with that analogy. Like if you give them the keys, they can drive the car. Same thing with your life.
Sure.
You give the enemy the keys to your life in an area, he can drive your car, taking your life out. In the same way, you know, what happens for us to repent? Well, it's literally taking the keys back. It is turning from this agreement that you've had with the enemy and just it's changing your mind.
Right.
And I think we talked a little bit about that word is a change. It's an about face. To back away from this sin area where you've now had some revelation, whether it be through a conversation or the Lord just moving in your heart, you've had the information you need to identify it. Now we turn and we repent and go, Lord, I repent from fear's a good one. I repent from agreeing that I have a reason to be fearful or that I was made to be fearful.
Right.
I repent of that. I turn my back or passivity. Let's just stay on that one.
Mm-hmm.
I repent from being passive in this area. I've been slow to move or I've been unwilling to move. It's just a form of rebellion.
Yeah, I just don't want to.
Yeah, it's rebellion. I mean,
you
that's
can't
what
make
it
me.
Is. Yeah, I'm going to rebel away from the truth of what I have. And then next, after we've repented, we've got to receive the Lord's forgiveness. And as believers, man, are we bad at this sometimes. We are so, so bad at this because we kind of take on this, I'm going to earn it.
Yeah.
I'm going to go out and you see it over and over again. Lord, will you forgive me?
Yeah.
He's already said he has. So that's done. And so I love to use the phrase, I'm receiving the Lord's forgiveness. That's that second R. I'm going to receive your forgiveness and walk in it because your sacrifice was enough. I'm going to let it be enough instead of, will you forgive me, Lord? And then just to make sure, I'm going to go out for 2 or 3 days and either sulk and be, you know, kind of just downtrodden and
right.
I'm just sad, or I'm going to go perform my pants off and do a whole lot of really neat stuff for the Lord so that that forgiveness is locked in.
Because I don't know how to receive a gift.
Absolutely.
Right?
Right. And there's no way anybody loves me enough to give me one, particularly
right.
this big. So receive the Lord's forgiveness. Let Christ's sacrifice be enough. I receive it, Lord. I receive your forgiveness for being passive. Okay. And then the third step, and this is where people kind of go, I'm not so sure about that. It's absolutely, we are in a spiritual battle, Ephesians 6:12. It's not flesh and blood. It's cosmic forces. It's principalities. It's whatever translation you're dealing with. It's the enemy.
Right.
We are in a spiritual battle.
Yeah.
And so in a spiritual battle, we've got to be willing to stand up and do that battle. And for years, what I thought was, you know, Dustin, I'm really struggling with, you know, with lying right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so my spiritual battle was, Dustin, will you pray for me? Will you be praying for me?
Right.
And
right.
that was my, you know, it says resist the enemy and he must flee. That was my concept of resist, was to come to you, body of Christ. Like, this is how the enemy loves to work. Take the truth and just twist it a little. Just get you off kilter.
Sure, absolutely.
So, okay, I'm supposed to be in a body of Christ. I'm supposed to work that way and then kind of go from there. And so I had you pray for me. And that was resist. No, we've got to be willing to use the authority of Christ and do battle there. So in Jesus' name, spirit of passivity, you have to leave. And then the last R is to come in and say.
So you are physically rebuking.
Absolutely.
The enemy.
Yeah. When I pray through the four R's, it's listen, I've given some agreement here to the enemy. I've let him in this area of passivity. So I'm going to go back and just simply break the agreement. In Jesus' name, spirit of passivity, you have to go. And based on what scripture says, because I'm coming in the name of Jesus Christ, I'm coming with his agenda in mind. I'm coming on his behalf. This has to leave.
Right.
And you see it all throughout scripture. That's the authority we've been given to do that battle. And then lastly, we come in and we, opposite spirit, we're going to come and bring that truth of I've not been given a passive spirit. I've not been given a spirit of fear, spirit of power. The Lord wants to speak to me. The Lord wants to continue to move me, to motivate me with revelation or conversations that I'm having. And in that, I can move out into the truth. And in that truth, I can now move. So those are the four R's. Just repent, receive, rebuke, and then replace it with the truth.
Yeah, you have to replace a behavior with another behavior. You can't just say, God, I'm tired of being a passive man. I'm tired of being a fearful man.
Yeah.
I'm tired of being the man that but I don't know what to do. I've got to turn around, especially when it comes to sexual sin.
Totally.
God says flee.
Yeah.
You can't say no.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know how.
Yeah.
So let's go to God's word first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
Repentance to receive God's
forgiveness. Yeah.
Forgiveness.
Yeah.
To receive, to truly understand. I say understand. We do the best to our ability to understand that. And then to rebuke, and that's probably the one that we're most unfamiliar with.
Yeah, that you have the authority of Christ to be able to push back. That's yours. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit. When you rebuke, the enemy's not seeing you. He's seeing the authority of Christ that's in you. That's why you have the ability to do that.
And the last R there is replace.
That's right.
To replace the lie that we've believed for so long, to finally say, you know what? I'm going to replace this behavior because
right.
God didn't make me to be a fearful man.
Totally.
He's made me to be a joyful man.
That's right.
To be a loving man, to be a kind man.
That's right.
Well, thank you, Rustin. This has been fun.
Thanks for having me.
Rustin Rosello, my guest on the Dustin Daniels Show. If you are struggling with lust, with sin, with porn, visit our website at 7places.org. There's a free online community there. There's video blogs there. You can find some information on local groups to be a part of. You can also listen to the radio program, DustinDanielsRadio.com, and subscribe to iTunes. God bless you. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Dustin Daniels Show. We pray that this radio program has helped you with the challenges that you are facing in your life. We are a listener-supported ministry. To make a donation or for resources that were mentioned on today's program, please visit Seven Places Ministry at sevenplaces.org. That's S-E-V-E-N places.org. The Dustin Daniels Show is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with regard to the subject matter covered. This information is given with the understanding that neither the host nor the station is engaged in rendering professional counseling advice that pertains to your personal situation. Since the details of your situation are fact-dependent, we suggest you seek the services of a competent, Christ-based counseling professional.